Hello and welcome to Weekly MTG. I'm one of your hosts, Blake Rasmussen. With me is Steve Sunu and Ravnica set design team member Andrew Brown. Thank you. Who's going to give us, I practiced that in the mirror this morning, who's going to give us the lowdown on a bunch of cards that we've already seen. And more.
Yeah, maybe one or two that we haven't seen.
Maybe one or two that we haven't seen.
If everybody's really good, we'll see.
You guys told me we were going to do new cards at the end.
Okay. All right. We'll do new cards
for you, the viewer.
Yeah,
for everybody. For everybody
you.
Up in here.
Yeah. Before we get started on that, you'll notice Andrew and I are wearing, mine matches the bolus purple behind me, which was not intentional. But we're wearing these sweet new shirts. These are shirts that are... We license them to BioWorld. There's the Gideon one and the Liliana one. Those are the only two we have right now. But
which is
if
why
you,
I'm wearing just a
which
regular
is why,
shirt.
Which yeah. is why Steve is wearing what he wears every day of
yeah,
his
I
life.
Yeah, I drew the short straw.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to. Yeah.
We're just bringing these up because they're cool and they're new. And also they have no tags, which is my preference for any kind of t-shirt.
I really like that.
Which is delightful. You can get them on Amazon. If you just search Amazon for BioWorld, Magic, Gideon, Liliana, whatever, you can find... These sweet shirts. This is Liliana. She's got some zombies below her.
Yeah, I got Gideon. He's clearly destroying something, but...
He's giddying all yeah. over the place.
Yeah, giddy up, giddy up.
So, yeah, like Steve was saying, we're going to show you some cards first.
Mm-hmm.
That look at the little ticker at the bottom.
Yep.
Previews so far are going to happen first. Then we're going to show you the set's tokens. All of the set's tokens.
All of them.
All of them. And then we'll get to the stuff you're really here for, which are the preview cards. We're going to share two of them.
Yeah,
brand new.
We have two brand new preview cards.
We're seeing, because it is Ravnica preview season, after all.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's right.
All
that's
the
why
time.
We're doing the show.
On that note, we get a lot of questions about when preview season's over.
Yeah.
Preview season is over on the 19th. That is next Wednesday. The reason it's a Wednesday is that is also the day of the Loading Ready Run pre-release,
yep.
which is a good time. You'll be able to view that on Twitch. And then we've also got the World Championship coming right after that.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. So we're doing a lot of things next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty crazy week. But this week, Ravnica previews. Ravnica
let's
previews
do that.
All over the place. And we've got some pretty cool cards that have been revealed already. And we're gonna show some of those, I think.
Yeah, let's
right?
do it.
Let's take a look.
Let's see what we got first.
See, get a recap going. Oh, I recognize these.
Andrew, were these ever not in the set?
I guess like maybe at the inception, but fairly early down the road, we were pretty confident that we wanted to bring back the shock lands because with Ixalan year having all the check lands, mm-hmm. shock lands, check lands, they marry so well. Such a nice mana base, just so much fun to play with. Mm-hmm. I'm super stoked for the shock lands to be back.
Well, and really, what says Ravnica more than shock lands?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
With those lovely guild watermarks on them.
Yeah, these were an odd mix of the most welcome reprints and also the least surprising to our fans. Yeah.
Yeah, when I first saw the file and they weren't in there, I was like, yeah, so are we going to do this? And then I was met with a rousing, of course we're going to do that. You're the new guy here.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of hazing that went through.
All right, so we don't have a ton to say about those. So let's move on to, we're going to first talk about some of our promos.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is Amara Soul of the Accord. This is the promo you can get for playing in the store championship, which actually happened. This is the first place you can get a Ravnica card because mm-hmm. the store championship happens the week before pre-release. So I think they're happening next week. And this is what you can get for participating. But also, Amara's a pretty cool card.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Amara's just one of my favorite Selesnya cards. It actually really combos well with an upcoming card, Conclave Tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Amara just works so well with Convoke. You're tapping her, you get more guys to more Convoke, and then it might also synergize with an upcoming preview card.
Ooh.
But...
What?
I'm not going to reveal that now. Okay. We'll wait till later at the end of the show, but it's gas.
This entire show is going to be full of hints and,
you
wait.
Sure.
Just wait until the final.
Yeah.
We're going to get there. We're going to do that a lot.
But I love how we've, you know, done these really great, the art style of these promos that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really love
yeah,
the
for
art,
sure.
the the clear text box where you can see more of the art. I think this is a really great execution of of our store championship promos.
Yeah, it's really cool. When we're when I'm looking in the in our car base software, you can actually look at all the art. You can look at the art director, the art description, and it's definitely set aside like on a separate page that, oh yeah, this is going to be for a promo, so we're gonna show more of the art here. And it's really interesting to see the artist process from making, you know, regular size Magic cards to like these extended art pieces that look really awesome.
Yeah. It's one of the perks of being in R&D. You're not really involved in making the art, but you get to see the whole process.
Oh, I get to see all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. All right, what do we have next? Another promo.
Yeah, speaking of that full art store championship promo, here's another one of them.
Yeah, so this one is from Open House. Mm-hmm. So Open House is an event meant for new players. It happens typically the weekend prior to the pre-release, so that would be not this weekend, but next weekend. So Open House is a chance for, if you already know how to play Magic, go and teach people how to play Magic, or if you have a friend who doesn't know how to play Magic, bring them, and then just for participating, you get a shiny Boros Challenger.
Yeah, I really like Boros Challenger a lot. It's awesome and constructed. It's awesome and limited. My favorite thing about it is like there's so many dynamics going on with it. So you can actually pump it pre-combat to make sure that it can mentor onto another creature, or you can pump it mid-combat to make sure that you can win the fight.
Okay.
A lot of different angles going on here. He's a tricky guy, but tons of fun.
Well, I noticed there's a few mentor cards in the set that have the ability to make their power higher. Mm-hmm. And that I'm assuming that was an intentional design.
Yeah, definitely. You'll even see it on Aurelia, Boros Banneret, maybe an upcoming Ironclad member of the Boros. Who knows? I know.
You do. I know too.
Everybody else knows. No, but
You'll find out. You'll find out.
Yeah, definitely. They all work really well together because they're mentoring each other, and then eventually you can put more mana into them so that they can mentor each other again. Mm-hmm. It's a big mentor fest. It's awesome.
Okay. And is this... Now, you said that you expect this card to show up in Standard.
Yeah, I do, yes.
Is that good?
I think so. Okay. I'm not 100% sure. The Boros deck has a really solid curve of really strong creatures that, if you really get that 1, 2, 3, 4... It's pretty tough to beat.
Okay, all right.
Well, in a 2-drop, 2/3, I'm always happy to cast that on turn.
Yeah, it's decently sized just for its cost, even.
Right, exactly.
So why the actually, let me ask about that. Why the third point of toughness?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I exactly remember. We were deciding whether to make the white 2-drop Sunhome Stalwart or this card into a 2/3 to make it stronger for Standard.
Okay.
And we ended up choosing this one because we found the activated ability was really cool. It was cooler than just regular old First Strike.
Sure.
And plus, we wanted to encourage you to be more multicolor. So we added the third point of toughness to this card instead of the other one.
Okay.
All right.
Let's look at the next promo, which is a promo you can get for participating in Magic League. So Magic League is an event where it's kind of just ongoing and rolling. You show into your store, you get a couple packs. I think you start with 3. You build a little 30-card deck out of it, and then you just play against people. Mm-hmm. You have fun. You can keep track of your wins and losses. You don't have to. And just for participating in that... you can get this Necrotic Wound, which looks like a pretty powerful one-mana removal spell.
Yeah, I like Necrotic Wound's flexibility a lot. You know, it's pretty good early. You can, you know, pick off into Llanowar Elf or something, and then late game you can just basically get any card you want, right? Mm-hmm. And it's also great for setting up those super big double spell turns in the late game, so you could, like, play your Azoni, remove their biggest threat, your turn.
That's how Andrew plays every game of Magic. Your turn.
I love, and this is another great thing about our promos. This one features the watermark of the set symbol.
Yeah, very cool.
Which is very cool. Very, very cool.
Now, so we've seen a lot of discussion about Undergrowth online, people wondering how easy is it to get it. What's a reasonable number for Undergrowth? And then what, if you dedicate yourself to triggering a bunch of Undergrowth spells, what are you aiming for?
Well, I mean, it definitely really depends on where you are in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, normally in limited games, you're going to start with, you know, 2, maybe 3 in the earlier stages of the game. But there are some cards that really reward you in the late game for it. For example, Golgari Raiders was recently spoiled yesterday. And it's a, I think it's a 3G XX. It comes in with X counters and has haste. Mm-hmm. So in the late game, that can just come out of nowhere and deal upwards of like 10 to 15 damage.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's look at, we've got two more promos that we're just going to go over real quick. So our draft weekend promo, so this happens the week after the pre-release, the week of release. So if you participate in a draft event at a local store, so it's the weekend of October 5th, you can get a Fire Minds Research. And then our last promo is the buy a box promo, Impervious Great Worm, Giant, Convoke.
Giant, big,
really hard to kill. So this is what you get if you buy a box from a local store and they have them in stock. You get one of these for free just on top of the box. Yeah. But let's move on to F&M promos.
I love these promos.
These are gorgeous.
I love how they look, and they're all really sweet this time around. Like I want to play all of these cards. Conclave Tribunal, man, that putting Convoke onto an Oblivion Ring effect. Andrew, talk to me about that.
Yeah, just Conclave Tribunal, one of my favorite cards in the set. It really synergizes so well with so many of the Slozny cards. As I mentioned, it works really well with Amara. You know, they actually, like, compound, too, because, you know, like, the more Amaras and more Tribunals you play, the more creatures that you have, so you can Convoke easier. And also, just check out that awesome Seb McKinnon art. Every time I see his work, it's just out of control.
So good. And then Sinister Sabotage, that's a counterspell after Blake's own heart, I'm sure.
Yeah, as anyone who knows me knows, I play quite a bit of Canadian Highlander, and I'm one of the few people who really likes, I think it's Dissolve in that format, which is the Scry counterspell.
Yep.
Now, my Grixis deck uses its graveyard quite a bit. I've got Snapcaster, I've got
upgrade.
Torrential, I've got Cruel Ultimatum. And this is just an upgrade for me. And so this is going straight into that deck, and honestly, I think Thought Erasure might as well.
It's a cool card, seriously.
Well, it's cool, and it looks powerful to me. Is this a standard shot?
Yes, definitely. You know, back in the day when I was outside on the real world playing a lot, I tended to play a lot of control decks, so I played a ton of Dissolve. And, you know, Sinister Sabotage, just a really easy design for us to go to just kind of relive that Dissolve power level. And I actually think that's about the perfect level that we would want 3-mana counterspells at.
Yeah.
Just 3-mana, Tiny Rider, just like Disallow, just like Dissolve, Sinister Sabotage, going to fill that role for Standard for a couple years to come.
Yep. And Thought Erasure is, it looks like a really good spot for a 2-mana discard spell. It's been hard for 2-mana discard spells to make their way into Standard. Castigate's like the last one I can think of.
Yeah, exactly.
But that one looks like it's pretty well positioned to do so.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about Thought Erasure is that, you know, most of the time if you draw a Thoughtseize late or something like that, it's actually going to be pretty dead, but like this still has that added ability to let you surveil one to maybe put a Jumpstart card in your graveyard, or just make sure that you're filling up with gas later on. Very versatile.
Cool. So yeah, those are all three of those you can get for participating in Friday Night Magic during the Guilds of Ravnica season. The way they're given out is stores just get a bunch of them, and they can kind of divvy up all three of them as they see fit. So it used to be where on particular weeks, during particular months, you got this card. Not the case anymore. All three of them are on the table. Talk to your local game store about how they're giving them out, but definitely go to F&M and pick some of these up.
Yeah, they're really great.
Very cool. That is it for the promos we're talking about today, but we've got some pretty spicy cards that we want to check
I think
on.
We've seen some pretty spicy cards so far, you know, and I think getting to recap some of them is really exciting for us because a lot of the time we don't get to do that in-house, so...
Yeah, we don't get to talk about them afterwards.
Not often, so this is a really cool opportunity for all of us. Like, we're really excited about it. Planeswalkers. Planeswalkers in the set. There are a couple of them.
So this next one was previewed by TCG Player just yesterday.
And it seemed like people are pretty down with Vraska leading the Golgari this time around because the response to this, to some of her abilities, were really, really strong. And it's understandable. They're very strong abilities.
Yeah, definitely. I really love Vraska. You know, it's kind of... We don't really do build around Planeswalkers very often, but I thought this was a great time to do it with Vraska. So, you know, she's kind of playing into that whole aristocrat-style gameplay where it's like you have creatures, you sacrifice things that are not needed anymore. She has some utility in that Abrupt Decay minus. Yep. And then, obviously, once you get to the minus 10, it's game time.
Creates, Not just everyone's an assassin.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Previous versions have created an assassin.
I remember that.
This one just, you know, everyone's an assassin.
Yeah, my personal favorite card to sacrifice to Vraska's plus two is actually Legion's Landing. Because it's a legendary enchantment.
Okay. Yeah.
So you play Legion's Landing, you get your 1/1. You sack your Legion's Landing, you play your other Legion's Landing, you get another one. You're just so much food going on.
All right.
Really tasty. Also, when you flip it, it's essentially just 3-mana draw card.
Yeah, that is true.
Very spicy.
Until you get to 9, and then it's 3-mana make an assassin.
Yeah. I'd imagine that eating vampires is pretty spicy.
Probably.
Yeah. Seems like.
And as many of you have guessed, this Vraska is also the 8th masterpiece in the Mythic Edition. So we have.
So we're going to show that off now.
This is the version that you'll get with Mythic Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. If you don't know what Mythic Edition is, you can Google it, or I'll tell you a little bit. It's going to be available on Hasbro Toy Shop for $250 for a full 24 packs, 8 of which are going to include masterpieces like this one. You'll get all 8 that include things like Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, Ral Zarek, who we're going to show again in a minute.
Liliana the Last Hope.
Liliana the Last Hope. Yep. Doretti.
Ingenious Iconoclast.
Ingenious Iconoclast.
Elspeth.
Elspeth.
Knight Errant. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That my personal favorite Planeswalker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The art on that one is just outrageous. Because it's her from the Theros underworld. It's so cool.
It's really awesome.
So that's the Vraska. But let's look at the other Planeswalker in this set.
Which is Ral Izzet Viceroy.
What's going on here, Andrew?
So this is just one of our kind of bread and butter 5-mana Planeswalker designs, but with a tiny twist on it. You know, Vraska is kind of a build around.
Mm-hmm.
Ral kind of a build around himself, because you actually have to include instants and sorceries in your graveyard. And if you check that -3 text box as well, it works with cards that you've jump started that are exiled as well. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend playing some instants and sorceries with jumpstart with Ral.
Which makes sense, because most of the time when we see an ability like this, it just counts them in your graveyard.
Exactly, yeah. So with Jumpstart, you actually have to exile the card, so it's in exile, but Ral's ability counts it, and his plus one also fills your graveyard with potential Jumpstart cards as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a big value engine going on there, and then once you have the ultimate, it's pretty fun. I would recommend doing it.
I want to do that.
I don't know very many players
doubling
who
season.
Want to do that.
Yeah.
Doubling season. Yeah, we were having a conversation before the show about all the things doubling season does with Planeswalkers,
right?
Which is all kinds of broken things.
Yeah, that's very, very key to our design process. We really make sure that Planeswalkers work with doubling season.
This is not
a lie.
That is
it's
not
completely
true.
False.
Yeah. Well, okay, so talk about why that isn't the case, why that isn't a consideration when you're creating standard level Planeswalkers.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, our end goal is always just come to the correct card. Come to the card that we think is going to be the most successful at fulfilling its goals that it has.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we're looking back to older cards for more casual formats, we don't really want to make concessions designing around that.
Right. And in more casual formats, it's okay if something is wacky, like you ultimate right away, or because that's kind of the fun of those formats.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even in standard, like, I think it's pretty reasonable if we, like, maybe increase the mana cost by 1, but if you have to resolve some clunky enchantment and then wait a turn and then also resolve your Planeswalker to then ultimate it.
You kind of deserve it.
You deserve it, yeah. You've achieved your goal, and I think that's that's something that we should shoot for.
I dig that. We kind of skipped over a card that we had on the list, and I skipped over, and I apologize for that. Because you had wanted to talk about Izzoni Thousand-Eyed.
Yes.
With Vraska. So let's do that.
Yeah, I absolutely love Izzoni Thousand-Eyed. I think that was the first time I ever said that the card's name.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
Yeah, we always just shorthanded it to Izzoni, but Izzoni, a lot like Vraska, she's in the storyline, she's actually trying to. She thought she was going to be the Guildmaster, but
hold on a minute.
Vraska's the Guildmaster.
This lady's got snake hair.
Yep,
she wins.
Exactly.
Yep.
And Izzoni kind of also mimicking Vraska a little bit with that sacrifice ability. You gain a life and you get to draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in standard, I just expect Izzoni to be that over-the-top, back-breaking, mid-range crush fest. Mm-hmm. If you're
what do you think, what were the most number of insects you saw made during playtesting?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I've definitely made a fair amount of insects. I'd say 17's the record.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. That's generally very precise. I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say it's around 17.
17 happened on March 3rd.
Well, we actually have sometimes when we have these making tokens, doing something really cool cards. We have in play design, we have a scoreboard. So by the end of whatever focus period we're at, we'll tally up the scores.
Okay.
So for example, Desecrated Tomb from M19.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whenever a creature leaves the graveyard, you get
make a bat.
Yep. Yeah. We were getting pretty high scores. We had 9. We had 15. We had 20. And then Michael Majors had infinite.
What?
Yeah, he had infinite bats.
In
constructed.
What format?
In standard.
In standard?
In standard. He had 2 Mox Ambers.
Okay.
A Restoration Specialist and a Teshar.
Okay.
So
we did one of the Teshar combos.
Yeah, you infinitely loop Teshar and Restoration Specialist to create infinite bats at instant speed.
Nice.
Love it. Fantastic.
Lots of times he would say, I will demonstrate the loop.
that was nice of him.
Yeah,
Michael Majors looking out for everyone.
It's true.
Saving time.
But 17.
But Azoni.
17 is still a lot.
17's pretty good.
17's pretty good. Yeah, 17's pretty good. Yeah, that's my personal high score. I don't know anybody else's high score.
Okay.
But hopefully, I can be the winner at the end of the.
Well, when this card comes out and hits standard, people have to tweet their high scores at you.
Oh yes, please tweet your Azoni high scores at me.
While we're talking about Undergrowth, how key is Stitcher's supplier to all these Undergrowth cards?
Stitcher's supplier is, there's a lot of different ways to do it. There's, you know, you can go for a more aggressive Golgari deck, there's a mid-range Golgari deck, and there's also, like, the super grind-out Golgari deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stitcher's supplier is pretty important in the first two, but generally less important in the third one, just because, you know, in those heavy mid-range decks, you really want to make sure that every single card is like powerful on its own, and you really want to lean more on the synergy with the first two decks.
Yeah. Stitcher's supplier, of course, the M19 card.
Yep. Yes.
The one drop that allows you to put 3 cards in your graveyard when it enters and when it leaves.
Dies.
When it leaves the battlefield.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. All right. Well, let's go back to the Izzet Guild.
Okay.
To one of my favorite cards that's been previewed so far. First of all, the mana cost.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
tell us about that mana cost.
So, as in the story, Niv-Mizzet is a very genius-like dragon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one place to go for a genius-like dragon. He only gets stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the new Niv-Mizzet, strongest of them all, because he still works with Curiosity. He can still do all that awesome stuff.
Yep.
But he's not so limited to just these 2 card combos now. He's like by himself powerful enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that casting cost is mostly because this guy's real good.
I'm not gonna say that. You can infer that.
I like to think that he ascended to the point where he's so blue and red that he no longer uses generic mana.
Nothing
at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is also a reasonable
as
a reasonable
purely argument. Is it as possible.
Yeah.
This spell can't be countered. That makes it look like you expect this card to maybe be a control finisher in some matchups.
Yeah, I can definitely see this coming up in certain like sideboards after board, because like, you know, generally in control mirror matches, you're going to try and take out all your removal, put in negate, put in duress, put in cards like that. When someone slams a Niv-Mizzet, you're like, I didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I also have a pretty good joke for Niv-Mizzet.
I love it.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes, please.
Andrew, for those who don't know, Andrew's pretty well known for his jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably hear the quotes when I said that.
I think they're actual jokes. I'm a big fan.
Follow him on @Mertler on Twitter for more of them.
Definitely, over the course of making card sets, you know, I only have a limited audience.
Of course.
And I have to save them for a year, because we work on sets a year in advance. So it's very cathartic for me to finally release my terrible jokes to the public at large. You're welcome. All right, so Blake.
This is like a participation
kind of
thing.
Oh, boy.
No.
Oh, boy. I love it.
So Niv-Mizzet walks into a bar.
Okay.
There's no counter.
Okay.
That joke works on so many levels, though. That's great. You could do Niv-Mizzet walks into a kitchen. There's no counter.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's so many different things.
You two deserve each other.
You have to throw them off balance.
Right. With the bar part of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see?
Blake
doesn't understand.
I'm gonna ask about something I care about. So the other little bonus thing on here is it's not whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, it's whenever anyone casts an instant or sorcery. Why? Asking the hard-hitting questions, Andrew. Why?
Right. So we know Niv-Mizzet's really popular in multiplayer, and we actually wanted to lean into that angle a little bit more, because what I find fun about multiplayer is like the politics of, hey, Blake, I would really enjoy if you cast a removal spell on that creature. Mm-hmm. And then if you do that, I get to draw a card, and maybe in the future I could reciprocate. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe in the future.
Well, because you'll draw a card. It could be a removal spell.
It could be a removal spell.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
And I really appreciate it in the future if you could cast some spells when I have Niv-Mizzet.
See, you're nicer than me in Commander. I'm just, yeah. Anyway.
You just slam it and know that they're going
to
happen.
I'm just like, no, this is happening. Deal with it. All right. Let's move on from our Perrin. Okay. To Dreamier.
Do you know what a Perrin is?
It's a Perrin that he doesn't.
Oh, my God.
Oof.
I hate you. I hate you too.
Yeah, a Perrin is a founding member of a guild in Ravnica.
Okay.
So Niv-Mizzet founded the Izzet Guild.
Did he?
Wow, yes. Mm. And you can find out more of the Perrins on the story page.
Good plug.
Yeah.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank
Good
you.
Pivot. That was great.
Next up, let's look at one of the first preview cards we had earlier in this week, Dream Eater. And this card does a lot of things, but the first thing I want to talk about is Surveil 4.
That's a lot of Surveil.
It's a lot of Surveil. It's the highest number in the set.
You can say that.
I just said that.
Oh, right, yes.
It's the highest number in the set.
So Dream Eater is the highest.
This show is live.
Yeah. This show's live. Right, Dream Eater is the card with the highest number of Surveil in the set, and I love it. It's really powerful. In the format, since a lot of the removal is just based on Planeswalkers, you know, with Teferi and enchantments with Conclave Tribunal, a lot of people are playing at sorcery speed. So end step, Dream Eater, bounce your Planeswalker, bounce your Conclave Tribunal, untap, attack your Planeswalker, play some more stuff. Super devastating plays. I'm super excited for Dream Eater. It's awesome. And also, the best part about Surveil 4 is it just finds more Dream Eaters.
Look at four cards. None of these are Dream Eaters. All right.
And that art, too. Like
The crazy, definitely.
And Nightmare Sphinx.
Yeah, Nightmare
Sphinx.
That's
such a cool typing.
Yeah. That's some very cool typing, yeah.
I love it. And it's got that cool Dimir watermark as well. Mm-hmm. Gotta love them watermarks.
Let's look at... So, in a lot of ways, this next card is actually one of the more surprising cards to me in the set. Ionize.
Yeah.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe this is the first unconditional hard counterspell that does not cost two blue mana somewhere in there.
Unconditional counterspell?
So we've had...
Oh, right.
Like counter squall counters
exactly.
non-creature spells.
Right.
Negate counters non-creature spells. Remove soul counters creature spells.
Exactly.
I don't think we've had a card that just had the text counter target spell and not have it cost two blue mana symbols somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but that definitely does.
Remand does technically counter
the
spell.
It does say
counter target spell. Yeah,
but Steve got me. All right.
Yes.
Nonetheless, not a common mana cost.
Yeah, exactly. So this is kind of a similar card to a card previously called Undermine, but Undermine did have three colored symbols
cost
in its
blue,
mana
blue,
cost.
Black.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly. And you know, given that we have shocklands and checklands, that extra one generic mana can also be the difference with saving you two life. Mm-hmm. Or being able to play your Plains, being able to play your Swamp in your Grixis control deck. Mm-hmm. That really resonates with you.
It does.
Right, yeah. So you don't have to shock yourself as much.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's exciting. And if you'd allow me to serenade you a tad here.
You have exactly 7 seconds.
I have exactly 7 seconds. So one of my favorite bands is Hall & Oates. So Ionize, it counters you, making you take that too. Oh yeah.
And we're all right.
And we're out. Yeah. There we go.
And we're out.
Thanks for that. This is why Andrew doesn't get to tell jokes.
Until, okay. Yeah. Well, I just did.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed that.
That was great.
But this card seems also just very good.
Yeah. Definitely. I really love giving players options, you know, with Sinister Sabotage, with Ionize, with maybe future counter spells coming out. Mm-hmm. But I think overloading on a certain slot is really interesting for deck building. So, you know, on some weekends, maybe Ionize is the strongest card. Some weekends, maybe Sinister Sabotage is the strongest card.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe one weekend, there'll be five-color control, and it's playing tons of Shocklands. Everybody, it can't lose, because everybody's playing Sinister Sabotage. Maybe it's too slow. But then next weekend, you just break out four Ionize. They'll shock themselves. You just keep hitting them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very robust metagame.
And you do end up getting a lot of incremental damage, especially if you play the card we revealed this morning. You made a joke about it with Briefing.
Oh, Mission Briefing, yeah.
Mission Briefing.
Yes.
Mission Briefing for those playing along at home or listening on iTunes. Two blue mana, instant, Surveil 2, and then you get the Snapcaster ability. You get to pick a card in your graveyard and
cast. Here we go.
There it is. Thanks to Sean, our producer, who's on top of these things. Mission Briefing and Ionize together, you can end up just shocking someone a whole bunch and getting a ton of damage.
Yeah, I really love Mission Briefing. It's super flexible. It's definitely one of those cards you always want to play one or two of in your decks, and especially in Canadian Highlander.
Of course.
It's going to be a slam dunk. Yeah, but generally in control decks, I like to play one to two of these, and then you kind of like fill up your graveyard through the course of the game, and then you basically have whatever you want at any time.
Yep.
And also, if you're in dire straits, you can do the old desperation.
The surveil with nothing in my graveyard.
The surveil with nothing in your graveyard. You know, maybe do a little drum roll, and then hopefully find something nice.
Or, I mean, that's kind of the nice thing about that card. If Snapcaster, if they remove your graveyard in response, you have your Ambush Viper.
Exactly.
But this card, there's at least still a chance.
Yep, part of the resolution of the card is surveilling those two cards into the graveyard. Mm-hmm. So if you do get Tormod's Cryptid or something in response, you can maybe get there.
Maybe get there.
Got a shot.
Always get there.
Let's move to something a little more aggressive.
Aggressive.
Huh? Right. Runaway Steamkin.
Mm-hmm.
This is,
I love that.
This
art.
Is a weird, cool design.
Yeah, definitely. Runaway Steamkin, one of my favorite monocolor cards in the set. It's actually part of a cycle upcoming where there's going to be a rare in every color that references that color, that monocolor.
Okay.
So you know, if you're new to Ravnica, you're not totally all about the multicolor. You're kind of new. You still have your monocolor deck. There is something for you in every single color too. So there's Runaway Steamkin for red and some other cards later down the line that you might also like. But yeah, Runaway Steamkin for the mono red deck, making mana, attacking for four. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two modes.
Now, this card, how was it created? Because it's got a combination of abilities that we just haven't seen before.
Yeah, exactly. How was it created? If I recall correctly, so Eric Lauer came up with the ability, came up with the cycle itself. And he's like, hey, I want to make all these cards for monocolor players, right? And then I think one of the early incarnations was that you had to sacrifice more counters for less mana. But we figured out that, you know, if we capped it, we could actually allow you to have an equal number of mana to counters. So by slightly nerfing it, but slightly buffing it, we actually got it to a great place where you can, you know, just keep storming off if you want.
Is this a Storm Enabler? Can you do some nutty things with it in formats that aren't standard?
Well, maybe, but you might be able to do some stormy things a bit later if we revealed a certain Izzet card later.
Which we're not going to do.
But
not today.
Hold on to your horses if you like Storm, because the weather's looking great. the weather's looking terrible.
All right, let's move to a Boros card, another aggressive card that has no storm applications.
But is a legendary creature.
A very nice looking legendary creature.
This is a powerful magic card.
It looks powerful. It looks like I'm going to lose to this card a lot.
Yeah.
Talk us through it.
Yeah, I love Aurelia. She's just fully embodies what the Boros want to do in Guilds of Ravnica. So my favorite thing to do with her is actually use the trigger when she enters the battlefield on another creature with Mentor to make sure that it can mentor another creature. So she's kind of got this pseudo ETB while also you must answer me or I will hit you for four and put another counter on something else. But I think deceptively one of the best things about her is that it's that fifth point of toughness, you know?
Okay.
And, you know, she's legendary as well, so premier removal spell and standard cast down cannot get her.
True.
Yes.
And what is that fifth point of toughness helper dodge?
Yeah.
So we recently revealed a card called Lava Coil. It's a 1R sorcery, deal 4 to a target creature, and if it dies this way, exile it.
Mm-hmm.
But Aurelia, very conveniently immune to the Lava Coil.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I would recommend hitting Rekindling Phoenix with Lava Coil, and I would recommend against pointing Lava Coil at Aurelia.
So let's move on to some split cards.
Ooh, a lot of
yeah, split cards are back, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
Love me some split cards.
Expansion Explosion.
You told a really interesting story about this card before we started rolling cameras.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, this card was originally one card, not a split card, right?
Yeah, so previously the Explosion part was a different card that it was younger in my career. I was a little more... aggressive, let's just say.
Okay.
So we tested a card called Dragon's Revelation at XRUU. Draw X cards, deal X damage to each opponent.
Oh, that sounds so gross.
So just Sphinx's Revelation, but the other
damage.
Way.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It was supposed to really show the flavor of Niv-Mizzet finally becoming his smartest version.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say that it led to some super not fun games, let's just say, where my deck is my only way to win, so that wasn't exactly great, but...
Unlike the Sphinx's Revelation decks, which had Elixir of Immortality. We're trying to move away from
that. Let's just say we're not going to do that. But yeah, instead, we kind of moved it, we held the design kind of intact, and we moved it to the other side of the split card,
mm-hmm.
and we tried to figure out, you know, what is the other half of this card, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, red and blue hybrid cards are pretty tough to make because you have to kind of use, it has to be either a mono blue card or a mono red card. So we thought that copying was a nice marriage of, hey, I draw a bunch of cards, and hey, I can copy an early game spell to keep me in it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the later game, you want to cast Explosion on a creature or their face, draw a bunch of cards, and then in the early game, you can use Expansion as like a re-counter on their counter spell, copy your shock, stay in the game, so you can eventually Explosion them for about 20.
Sure, okay. Of course.
So why, you can also choose two different targets with mm-hmm. Explosion. Why
right.
that way?
In some nefarious decks that were made in the future league, I'm not naming names, Michael Majors, but I believe this was your only win condition,
mm-hmm.
and in some matchups where some people were gaining life, you were just decking them.
Okay. So you wanted the option to...
Yeah, there are options here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's look at another split card, Find Finality.
Mm-hmm. This is my favorite split card in the entire set. It's just oozing with value.
Yeah.
So much value.
You okay there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right.
Yeah. Just super versatile. It's mostly late game cards. So you're mm-hmm. not going to really put too many of it in your deck. But actually, the Finality mode is just... It often just comes out of nowhere because generally you can play this kind of grindy game with Find, and then occasionally if you're behind, you can just play the Finality side. And plus, like, when you put the two counters on something, you can actually save one of your own creatures from the impending mm-hmm. Wrath of God.
Okay. Great. Let's move on to our last card before
the new.
We get to the new stuff.
Yeah.
Last card before,
last card
the, new
before the new stuff.
Well, but, yeah.
All right.
Response Resurgence.
Yeah, Response Resurgence, you know, again, really treading the line with Expansion Explosion of trying to be two different cards that are different, that are stronger at different stages of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to cast Response pretty early, and then you want to cast Resurgence kind of later in the game once you kind of locked it up where maybe Response isn't as strong. And if you'll notice, Response definitely hitting that crucial fifth toughness
the
there.
Fifth toughness.
The crucial...
Boros taking out one of their own leaders.
Yes, but one of my favorite combos is to make my Aurelia invulnerable to this response by having Lyra Dawnbringer out.
Mm.
So that's a six toughness Aurelia.
That's a six toughness angel. That's pretty
yeah.
good.
And plus, I really enjoy Response actually hitting five because mm-hmm. you know generally white and red may have trouble with cards like Lyra Dawnbringer, so hopefully this can be maybe an answer for that card if it gets out of control.
Sure. And for those who don't know, Doug Beyer talked about on Twitter what the gag was.
The naming convention.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to explain it?
I can explain it. So for every single split card, the first three letters will be the same. Mm-hmm. So we have Find Finality, Response Resurgence, Explosion Expansion, Status Statue. Yes.
Yeah. And the reason it's three letters is because he tried two letters, and he was like, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, no sweat.
What about three? And he did it.
Yeah.
Good job, Doug.
And it will continue.
It will continue, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk next about tokens.
Finally moving that slider on over.
Tokens, yes. So the cards that make all of these have been previewed, except for that Angel token.
Ooh.
There's a card that makes Sarah Angels.
Yeah, one of my favorite cards in the set. Definitely going to be a casual all-star and just really, really talks to the Selesnya player. It's super awesome.
Yep.
So stay tuned for that at some point during preview season.
And look for, we're going to post these on Daily MTG tomorrow morning. So you'll see these tokens on your screen. They're on your screen right now.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll be a little static. They'll stay there.
Good effort.
Yeah. Thanks.
Good job.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what I mean.
I really love those multicolored tokens. I love the insect and the elf knight tokens.
They're awesome for sure.
And of course, who doesn't love a good bird illusion?
Well, and I really like the art on that insect token too.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Very realistic.
Our team did a great job on these.
Yeah, you can even see that insect in the art for Izzoni.
Really?
Yes.
No.
Ooh, fun fact. Very cool.
All right, let's move on to our actual previews.
All right, we're here. We're going to previews.
We got
two cards for people today.
Yeah.
Take a look at here.
Should we draw it out a little bit more while chat yells at us for taking? No. Okay.
No. Okay. Let's give the people what they want.
It's my show, Andrew. I'll do what I want.
No, dude.
We're not going to. Let's take a look.
And what you want in this case is to give
what
people
I want
what they
is
want.
To give you what you want.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at our first preview card. Venerated Loxodon.
Love me some good elephant clerics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Andrew, walk us through this.
Yeah, so this is actually, you know, kind of new design space for us, where previously we didn't actually write the words convoke or convoked, mm-hmm. so there's like a reward for actually convoking stuff, but here we have Venerated Loxodon, who actually rewards the creatures who convoke it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can play your Amaras, tap it for Conclave Tribunal, get some more little 1/1 lifelink soldiers, tap them for this guy, you got your army is now upgraded.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, this is a really cool card. Do you expect this to see some standard play?
Yeah, I do expect this to see some amount of standard play, definitely in that more aggressive Selesnya version.
Yeah.
So you want to like load up on 2-drops, maybe some 1-drops, and then you know you try to chip in some damage, and then once eventually your opponent plays some sizable creatures, you can make all your creatures that just one bigger.
And I can imagine there's some commander token decks that are going to want this.
Yeah, of course.
You're going to risk the redeems and that sort of thing.
And it's just a free 4/4.
Yeah. Or you're Amaras. You know what? Make an Amara commander deck.
Yeah.
Do it. Why not?
It's a free 4/4.
Enjoy it.
I really like this card. I think the flavor on it is super great, too, because, you know, you're convoking, you're calling to the elephant cleric to come help your team, and he blesses you with, like, you know,
elephant blessings upon you.
Yeah, indeed. And something to keep in mind, too, is, like, all of the Selesnya tokens are either 2/2 elf knight or 1/1 soldier lifelink.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be some extra bonus that you're going to be able to leverage by playing Selesnya cards.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to our second preview.
I'm really excited about this.
I love this card. Yeah. So we haven't had a card like this in Standard in a long time. I have many questions, but talk us through what this card
Blood
does.
Operative is the name of the card
Blood
for those of you that are listening on, audio version.
You're on iTunes. It is Blood Operative. Andrew, what does it do?
So Blood Operative is a 1BB 3/1 with lifelink, and when Blood Operative enters the battlefield, you may exile a target card from your graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
It also has, whenever you surveil, if Blood Operative is in your graveyard, you may pay 3 life. If you do, return Blood Operative to your hand.
Mm-hmm. And just so people get the full picture, you were telling us about a weird rules quirk with this one.
Yeah, so if you actually do surveil Blood Operative into your graveyard, you know, through maybe a Dream Eater or maybe a Notion Rain,
mm-hmm.
you can actually use this trigger to pay 3 and put it in your hand.
The turn it is surveilled. The exact time it is surveilled.
Yeah, the time it is surveilled into the graveyard, you can bring it back by paying 3 life.
That's so what impressed me about this card is we've seen a lot of cards that come back from the graveyard lately. The blood gas type things mm-hmm. that they're small black creatures that usually can't block.
Exactly.
Or Scrap Heap Scrounger is the most current version, where they're meant to be used aggressively.
Yeah.
This seems like it might be the opposite end of the spectrum, where you're using this in a grindy deck or in a control deck.
Yeah, there are tons of matchups where you want to bring in Blood Operative. It's not, I wouldn't really consider it a main deck card, but mm-hmm. I definitely really want to dedicate slots to it in my sideboard because, you know, 3-1 Lifelink can be great against aggressive decks. The Exile a Card from a Graveyard can be great against those Undergrowth decks. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to play that grindy control midrange matchup, you know, you can just keep getting him back. And plus, those optics, it really lines up nicely with that 3 life and the 3-1 Lifelink.
Yep, that makes sense. So the Exile a Card from the Graveyard clause, mm-hmm. is that so it can fight other Blood Operatives?
Possibly.
Possibly.
But yeah, you know, something we've learned, you know, making sideboard cards is just generally, like, you want to put as many knobs on them as possible or mm-hmm. just effects because you're more willing to put a card in your sideboard if it has extra splash damage
sure.
against other decks.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and that lifelink, like you said, it seems like it sort of makes this card, it balances the card out.
Yeah,
but it
exactly.
also seems like it'll make it so good to bring in against aggressive decks. Just the
exactly.
fact that you have a 3-1 lifelinker, like, yeah. I'm just going to throw this in front of your guy, gain 3 life.
Yeah, exactly.
And later when I have a life cushion, I might bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'll gain another 3.
I dig it. I really, really,
it's really
like
cool
this card.
Really great.
So that's all we have for previews. If that's all you came for, you can leave.
And one more time, we'll recap for those of you that came in a little late. We've got Loxodon.
Venerated Loxodon,
which we'll pull up and then give you a quick look at that one last time. And then we've got, of course, Blood Operative, which was the one that you just saw on your screen. So those were our two preview cards for today. Looking forward to slinging some spells with those in Limited.
Absolutely.
And in Constructed as well.
AKA Blopperdive.
Blopperdive. Blopperdive. That's what we're calling it. Blopperdive.
We've still got some time, so we're going to take some questions from the audience. If you're on Twitch right now, feel free to put your questions in chat. We've got a moderator who will send them our way. If you're listening on YouTube or iTunes later, you're in the future. And you cannot ask us questions of now, but feel free to tweet at any one of us your questions, and we'll answer them if we can.
Yeah, or of course, at wizards_magic on Twitter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But let's ask the questions that we've got so far. So the first one I have, this is two questions from two different people, but they're related.
Okay.
So from Master of the Unseen, other than the heavy mana cost, what design spaces did you use to push players towards building decks that are loyal to one guild? And along those same lines, we got a question from Andrew Weisel. Sorry, Andrew. What's up with the CCDD cost uncommons?
All right, so in Limited, one of the easy ways for us to reward you for staying within your guild color is mm-hmm. actually the artifact cycle called the Lockets. Mm-hmm. They recently got previewed. They're 3 mana artifacts that can add mana, and if you are able to pay a hybrid mm-hmm. of your guild, you can sacrifice them to draw 2 cards. So they definitely incentivize you for staying within your guild so that you can, you know, use it for mana, and then eventually in the late game, if you're out of fuel, crack them for cards. So they're definitely playing a lot of different roles, and they actually aren't as great if you're playing them in like a 3-color combination because you're not going to be able to leverage that ability to draw the cards later in the game.
Yep, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Here's one question from Twitch chat.
Oh, wait.
Ooh.
The CCDD cards.
Yes, those.
Right, yeah. So those are actually part of a cycle. Mm-hmm. So we have yet to see the Selesnya one and the Izzet one, mm-hmm. two of my favorite ones.
Ooh,
the best
something
for last.
To look forward to. Yeah,
and those are definitely another tool for us to make sure that people stay within their guild because mm-hmm. we are giving you these powerful uncommons if you stay within your mm-hmm. within your little confinement.
Your little area, yeah.
But that's not to say that we don't want you to branch out, though. So for each matching guild, so like with Boros, they match with Selesnya, mm-hmm. and they also match with Izzet, right?
Yep.
So each of those 3-color combinations has its own distinct strategy within Limited, too.
Okay.
So normally when you're drafting Guilds of Ravnica, for the first, I would say 5 to 7 times, you're going to mostly stay within your lane, maybe draft a guild, understand what it's doing. But then once you've kind of mastered that, you can really dive into those three color pairs by taking more guild gates, taking the specific cards that are good in that specific three color combination.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've, you know, massive brain evolved into the final form of five color gate control, which is my favorite.
That actually leads me into a question that I've been getting. So we're getting a lot of great questions on Twitch. We're going to try to keep
up. Thank you guys so much, by the way.
Still no confirmation on the basic land slot. Will gates be replacing them?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, you can answer that.
Yes, gates are fully replacing all of the basic lands in Guilds of Ravnica. So every pack will have a guild gate. It will be one of the five guilds. So there will be 24 guild gates per draft.
Yep. And then we got another question. When will we get more info on the guild kit deck lists? I can tell you that's coming on the 25th
yes.
of this month. That's when we'll have the full deck lists for the guild kits. Next question from Twitch chat. How much were you thinking about tribal decks and specifically tribes like Knights, Wizards, and Fungus when designing GRN?
So generally our process isn't really super good at catching like creature types because normally when we have to do art, the art is a lot later down the line.
Sure.
So normally we lock in what the card does and then make the art based on that. But there are some circumstances where we can actually make sure that this is of a certain creature type. So when we do see cards that could possibly fit in well to previous year's themes or whatever, we can definitely make sure that that will be of that creature type.
And I've seen that. You actually have in your database, there's a way you write out the creature type that specifies this is what the creature type must be.
Please make it this.
Please make it this.
So for example, on Boros Banneret, that's the one mana goblin with Mentor, we generally... We put it in brackets and we put some exclamation marks next to it so that the creative team knows, hey, make this a goblin.
Okay. We are getting questions. This isn't about Ravnica. We're getting questions about the GP schedule. We're close. I promise you we're working on it. It's coming soon. That is all I can say right now. We'll have more specifics soon. Let's see. Asking about reprints. Will we see more reprints in this set? I'm trying to think of the preview plan. I think we've previewed most of the reprints, but I don't want to say that for sure because I didn't vet this question beforehand and look at the preview plan.
It's hard for me to tell. I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe. Who knows? Stay tuned.
Who knows, yeah.
We will have all of the previews by 9/19.
That's 9/19 the date, not 9/19 tonight.
Correct. That would be cool.
Whew, thank you for clearing that.
Yeah,
up.
I know, right? Yeah.
Okay, here was a good question that you liked earlier. How much do you have to weigh designing the format for day one, the cards are legal, versus 9 months into the format once the supporting cast changes?
Yeah, this is a really great question. It's really hard. But one of the strategies we like to do is actually kind of, you know, leave holes within certain mana costs, within certain colors, within certain effects, so that later down the line we can actually replace them with other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about it earlier, you know, with Sinister Sabotage and Ionize, we like being able to double up on mana costs so that on certain weekends or during certain metagames, one choice is actually going to be stronger for that particular weekend than the other one. So yeah, we like doubling down and also leaving up holes for later sets to fill them in.
Okay. We had another question asking if blue-black Dimir in this set is the default control two-color combination in the near future, or if there are other colors that'll get in on the control thing.
So luckily for you,
for me.
For you.
For me, cool.
Given
you.
That Steam Vents and Watery Grave are the two shocklands in Guilds of Ravnica, you are going to be more incentivized to play a Grixis mana base than, let's say, a blue-white-red mana base or a black-white-red mana base.
Okay. Just by nature of the mana that's available
right now. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because you want to cast these really powerful multicolor cards, you want to have access to the best mana you can, and you don't always want to be shocking yourself.
Not always, just sometimes.
Just sometimes.
Shocking sometimes.
They're powerful because you have the option, not because you can.
Yep. Then we got another question. Will Shocklands have a chance to replace the Gateland slot?
No, they will not.
Yeah, those are in the rare land slot. And of course, we got that question because we did that during Dragon's Maze.
Dragon's Maze, specifically.
Yes,
Dragon's Maze. How much do you guys consider legacy and modern when designing a set?
I don't feel 100% confident answering this question.
Okay.
Can I answer this question? You're in charge.
I don't know what the answer is. Now you're scaring me.
I'm scared.
But let's look. Okay, there was a card you wanted to talk about earlier, and we're not going to show it to you because it was just previewed by Masters of Modern. Mm-hmm. So head over to look up Masters of Modern, either on Twitter or their website.
Yeah, Alex Hessler, Ben Bateman, fantastic humans.
Wonderful people. So they previewed a card today. And the reason we gave it to him is because it looks like a modern card. Mm-hmm. So are you, let me rephrase the question this way. How often do you design a card in a standard set with an eye towards modern playability?
Pretty rarely. Sometimes it just naturally happens. Mm-hmm. So for example, I would say a good example of that is actually Guildmaster's Demise. I think it's at about the perfect power level for standard. Mm-hmm. You know, if it ends up hitting those older formats, I think that's just great for us.
Okay, that makes sense. We had another question from Twitter. This is kind of along the same lines. Mm-hmm. How much interaction is there between designers of standard sets and supplemental products like Commander? Which came first, Surveil or C18's Top of the Deck Matters theme?
I'm not 100% keen on or I don't know exactly that. Mm-hmm. I generally only work on standard legal sets. Mm-hmm. And we do communicate with the supplementary teams occasionally, you know, if there's some amount of overlap. But there is a lot of oversight with making sure that we don't, like, step on each other's toes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we actually asked Gavin a similar question when we had him on the show for C18. Mm-hmm. And I think his response was that the theme for that deck specifically was created kind of independently of anything else going on in Standard. And it was just kind of a happy coincidence that it happens to work with other things. So that looks like all the questions we have. So we're going to call it a show. Thank you all for joining us. Previews are ongoing until next Wednesday, the 19th, September 19th.
September 19th. Not 9/19 tonight, no.
So next week's show, we're going to do something kind of fun. We're going to have an AMA.
Yep, it'll be me and Blake just sitting here answering some questions. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll have something special at the end of the show for you. We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
We'll see. We might do a little something.
I'll ask you some questions.
Maybe Andrew will walk
away. Andrew will step into Twitch chat, ask some questions. It'll be open season. Ask anything you want. We'll answer as many of them as we can. We're on the communications team, so our job is to know all of the things.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll know all of the things.
We've never done it before, so we'll see how this goes. I'm a little terrified. I'm also going to be on tomorrow's Friday morning stream, so I'm subbing for Trick Jarrett. You'll want to tune into that as well because we're doing more preview cards. We're going to focus on limited tomorrow morning, so I'll play some Arena and I'll talk about some cards that are more limited focused for Guilds of Ravnica. Otherwise, thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks so much, Andrew.
Thank you,
yeah,
Steve.
Of course.
Thank you, Blake.
And coming up next, Kenji Yashira is going to play some MTG Arena. So stick around for that, and we'll see you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in.